Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, this weekend in Turkey, millions of people will head to the polls to vote in the country's presidential and parliamentary elections. It's set to be a defining moment for the country as voters choose between two presidential front runners offering radically different paths for Turkey's future. To take a closer look at what we can expect, I'm joined in studio by Graeme Finlay, lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Good morning, Graeme.
Good morning.
It's Sunday's election. It feels as if the eyes of the world will be looking to Turkey. Before we get to all of the machinations, just talk us through the current system in place under Erdogan.
So this is an incredibly important election. Turkey is an incredibly important country, 85 million people, hugely important economy and military power, huge refugee crisis and so forth. But, you know, Erdogan's rule has been increasingly authoritarian, especially since a 2016 coup, which almost succeeded or had a good chance of succeeding. And so in the wake of that, he pushed through a constitutional reform, which made the presidency much more powerful, an executive presidency, whereas previously the prime minister was the most important role. So he, in the course of that, he's put his son-in-law as finance minister, and he's really kind of run the finances of Turkey into the ground. He's clamped down on social media and broadcast media and any kind of media. He has broad powers over every aspect of Turkish life, including setting the interest rates, because there's no independent central bank. And that has fueled an economic crisis, which is going to make it very difficult for him to win.
Which is at one point saw inflation rates last year, I think, rise above 85%. He has had an extraordinary rule, quite authoritarian. He's emerged in the last 15 years, along with all of those other strongman leaders, you know, Putin, Bolsonaro, and he's really taken his place amongst that. This could be a defining election for Turkish people, particularly because of its demographics. Are the young people going to potentially change the course of Turkey's future?
That they're certainly hoping to. I mean, I talked to my younger Turkish colleagues, and if you look at interviews with young Turkish people, they only know Erdogan as their leader of Turkey, right? Whether as prime minister or as president.
We're born with it.
And now, while there are some young people who might be religious conservatives who are very, very loyal to Erdogan, and we have to remember, he brought in the possibility of being a sort of moderate Islamist in Turkey against a fiercely secular state, which is behind perhaps the coup in 2016 and certainly has been behind a number of other coups. So there's this struggle, I think, even in young people, to find out a Turkish identity. But I think the majority of young people really think this is their last chance to preserve Turkish democracy. The opposition, led by Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, are promising to roll back the presidential reform, the constitutional reform, to roll back the financial malfeasance of Erdogan, let's put it that way, and create an independent central bank. And a lot of young Turkish people think that if they don't win this election, there won't be any more elections.
Look, it is extraordinary because even in the last couple of days, the Turkish election took a huge twist and turn when one of the front runners fell out of the race amid cries of that there were fake photos circulating of him. But it is extraordinary now that you have these two front runners with two very, very different views and, by a simple majority, I think Erdogan could end up losing that stronghold. But talk to me just about the conditions before we get to how that runoff might work, because the earthquake was devastating. And the inflation crisis, even though it has eased coming into the election, I think some independent economists still put it at over 100%.
Yeah, it's a sign of how bad things are that when Muharrem İnce, who's that third candidate who was on about 2.5%, 3% of the vote, resigned. Turkish politics is wild because of a sex tape. But he did it for the good of the country, actually, to unify the opposition, of course. But, it's hard to believe. But, the stock market...
Well, how could his votes get distributed? Because the stock market did rise on his...
Well, that's what I was about to say. The stock market went up 6% on his announcement yesterday that he was pulling out of the race. And his votes do seem to be going to Kılıçdaroğlu. The mood in the country is very, very poor. The earthquake was incredibly devastating. 50,000 earthquakes, I should say. 50,000 people killed. Millions displaced. One of the other factors in the voters is those millions of people were dispersed to the rest of Turkey. Now, some of them
will they get to vote?
Some of them will be able to vote where they are, but 1 million of them are trying to get back to southeastern Turkey to where they're registered to vote so that they can vote. And their votes, obviously, are going to be very, very important. They may not be very well disposed towards the government, put it that way, because the response has been quite poor. Earthquake politics in Turkey are really, really important in that it was a 1999 earthquake which helped propel Erdogan to power.
And yet he has presided over all of those, you know, criticisms of building regulations that are said to have contributed to the sheer scale of deaths that we saw.
Yeah, and people were wondering where the military was. And that just shows you how high the stakes are in this election. One of the narratives is that Erdogan didn't want to deploy the military because deploying the military would have given them the opportunity to launch yet another coup. So the tension between Erdogan and the civilian authorities and the military, the idea that there's a deep state in the military who are looking to depose Erdogan and maybe go back to the secularism of Ataturk, you know, the founder of modern Turkey. I mean, this is not an ordinary election. This is an election which could issue in a self-coup by Erdogan to stay in power, or a different kind of coup to put Erdogan out of power, or
for all the political nerds out there, how does their system work? What, are they PR? Or the first?
It's actually pretty simple. So, as you say, the presidential election, which is on Sunday, you know, you have to get 50% to avoid a runoff. And now with Inşa out of the race, Kılıçdaroğlu might get the 50%.
And it's a simple majority.
It's a simple majority, out. Yeah. And if nobody gets a simple majority, there's another runoff in 2 weeks. So not much time. And again, people are pointing to that as being a really heightened time of tension where, again, anything could happen. For the parliamentary seats, there's 600 seats for the Grand National Assembly. They are elected from 87 districts using a party list system. So just a straight up a party has a list, you get voted, and they go down the list in those different districts. Parties need 7% of the vote to get into the parliament. So if you get below that, even if you get a bunch of votes in a various place, you won't get seats in the assembly. The repression of his political opponents really has to be stated. He's imprisoned hundreds of them.
And just on that repression of not just his opponents, but crushing dissent and even the you know, the assaults and attacks on journalists, everything. Can we assume that these elections will be free or fair in a system which could literally go down to, you know, a simple majority?
Absolutely not. I mean, he's banning political parties. Again, the People's Democratic Party, which is a pro-Kurdish party, could well end up being the kingmakers in the assembly. They're on about 12.5%. They are actually running their candidates under the Green Left list because they expect to be banned any time now. So that's how bad it is. But no, the elections are not going to be free, and that media has been completely clamped down upon through a disinformation law, which means that people who say things on social media can be arrested. His most effective and charismatic political opponents are being under the threat of being banned from politics by a whole bunch of judges, which Erdogan installed after the coup. And again, he purged the military, academia, judges, journalists, everything. And then finally, you know, he has a real habit, and his party, the Justice and Development Party, has a real habit of interfering in elections. The only saving grace is it doesn't always work out. In the election in 2019 for the mayor of Istanbul, they said, well, we canceled the elections and reran them. And the actual opposing party, you know, got in with an even higher majority. So that might give us some comfort, but it's something to watch. The real prospect of electoral violence cannot be ruled out. We've already seen a fair bit of violence during this campaign. It is going to be very interesting to watch.
Throughout its history, partly because of its location, partly because of its size, Turkey is so important to geopolitics and to the global economy. And I suppose that's why it matters who gets in. Turkey's a NATO member. How important are these elections in terms of that broader geopolitics, the war in Ukraine, all of that feeding in?
Yeah, we've seen Erdogan play a crucial role surrounding Ukraine for both maybe good or ill, and often try to play both sides of the fence. Turkey has been interfering even in the politics of Libya and so forth in the recent past. He's a very, very difficult ally to have, and he's got very serious frictions with Greece.
And yet a critical one.
Another NATO member, and yet a critical one. It's an important regional power. Kılıçdaroğlu has promised to have a more pro-Western, you know, more harmonious relationship with Europe, whereas Erdogan has alienated a lot of his foreign allies. As a result, and because there's been a massive flight of foreign capital from Turkey because of this mismanagement of the economy, international powers and international finance will have very little influence over Erdogan if he wins, because, or if he tries to cancel the elections or institutes a coup, because he doesn't have good relations with any of them and he doesn't need the money.
But he attracts, particularly amongst that older generation, he attracts extraordinary loyalty too.
He does. And it's very, very tricky. Another important vote block is going to be women, who are the majority of
well,
citizens of Turkey.
Well, he hasn't been particularly nice towards them of late.
He's not a feminist, let's put it that way. But, you know, they think that the backbone of his support was conservative religious women. And, you know, we'll see how they turn out this time. You know, the Turkish population is getting older, but of course, older people are feeling this cost of living crisis, the housing crisis, which Turkey has, especially. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, when you see interviews with Turkish voters, some people recognize that the whole place is in a bit of a mess, but they're going to vote for Erdogan anyway, out of loyalty, out of his charisma, out of the sense that he's the strong leader
man
Turkey needs. Whereas other people, cannot understand why those people vote that way.
It's both presidential and parliamentary elections. How soon, it's huge, 85 million population going to the polls. How soon do you think we'll know the results? How soon can we expect them?
It's not going to be like a normal election. Again, in the past, they paused the counting of votes so they could count them differently, I'll put it that way, in past elections. And these were more local elections, right? These are on a grand scale. There's a special election, a Supreme Election Council, which is a court which Erdogan has tried to put his own judges on. There will be appeals to that court. There will be lawsuits. There will be contestation in every possible way. And then when the results come out,
it will not be easy.
It will not be pretty.
With Inch Out, Graham Finlay, just before I let you go, how would you call it?
I think the opposition will actually win, you know, it's just because the election machinery is capable of throwing up a surprise. It is not dead yet, right? So I think they'll win. They probably won't get the 50%. I think it'll be a bit like the Lula-Bolsonaro contest in Brazil. Erdogan's reaction to that is anybody's guess.
It's what could happen after that. Well, listen, Graham Finlay, thank you very, very much. And we will be following up on the Turkey election results next week. But for now, we're going to take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.